the most interesting and the one that I would miss about my visit here is the warm welcome, the friendly environment, and the hospitality of the brethren that I have visited. That means every one of you. And so I thank God for the privilege to be here, and that's because of God and your generosity. First, I would like to you to learn three praises from the Philippines, so you will get acquainted with how we greet in the Philippines. The first one is greetings of good life. We do that by saying magandang buhay. Can everyone say that? Magandang buhay. So in the Philippines, we say this one in that terms, magandang buhay. We say thank you by saying salamat. Can we say that? Salamat. And you're welcome, we say walang anuman. Walang anuman. So those are the three Filipino words that I would like to share you this morning. Now, most of you have already known me because of the updates and the reports that I am forwarding, but for the sake of everyone, I would like to tell you the things, how I get into the Church of Christ. I started studying the correspondence courses from IBTM, the International Bible Teaching Ministry, and Tanner Church of Christ last November 2012. But at that time, I was still in a denomination. I had there was a time when I do not anymore believe with what they are teaching. And so I went out of man-made religions on March 2013 and started a ministry in our compound, gathering children, giving them some food and school stuff. Now, some of my friends from the denomination helped me in doing this. Then we started the IOM Church of Christ after 7 months. That IOM stands for International Organization for Migration. This group coordinated with our government and bought a land at the back of our compound and gave them to those families which was devastated by the storm. And so we had an opportunity to mingle with them because it's just at the back of our compound. We gather on Sundays. The parents would also visit us together with their children. But at that time, I thought that my baptism, denominational baptism, was okay. It was not until I have read the book by Michael Shank, Mason Schobel, that I finally obeyed the Lord. And the first one that I have baptized is Sister Nils, the one who helped me on the beginning part of the Santa Cruz Church of Christ. So I obeyed the Lord last February 2, 2014. Through the generosity of the brethren here, of the congregation, we had the chapel building and we started using that last July 2014. We had a starting number of 23, and that includes the adult and the children already. Now the present attendees have a number of 33, including Sister Nils, that would make it 34. So that is the present number attending in the Santa Cruz Church of Christ. Now, here are the updates of after the visit of Brother Robert and Brother Henry last February this year. So after that, they have returned here to Alabama. Here are the things that had happened to Santa Cruz Church of Christ. Here are the pictures. I will have this fast. The first day, they met my family, and they were there during the children feeding every Saturday. That's the day they arrived, and this was the Sunday morning worship. We were joined by Nagkarlan Church of Christ, a Church of Christ nearby, and the brethren from the Bible school. This was the venue of the chapel. Near it is my father's house. Brother Henry was preaching here. And then this was the Bible study every night for 5 days. Then they treat us to Jollibee. And this was my parents and my relatives. This is the place where the children gather, and it's just in front of the chapel. Brother Robert instituted the baptism for Brother Joey. He was attending already for a month in Santa Cruz Church of Christ, but he finally obeyed the Lord through the visit of Brother Robert and Brother Henry. And this again is another picture on children's area. Brother Henry was able to baptize 3 youth when they were there. And this is the time we bid goodbye. Now, one of the things that happened after their visit is that we missed gathering together on midweek, because when they were not yet visiting, we only gather on Sundays. And so after their visit, we decided to have the midweek service. During the midweek service, we do a couple of things before we study the Bible, like group dynamics. We also have debates just to make the topic interesting. We divide the groups into female and male. We give them the stand, and then they have to debate on it. We have board work, something like that. The youth also participates. We have something like interview approach, wherein one interviews another about what he believes. We have something like exploratory study. We also divide the groups into two. We have fun games. So those are the things that we do before we have the Bible study, just to make them them more interested to come every Wednesday. Another thing is the Daily Vacation Bible School, which was done last April. Sister Niz were able to gather 7 kids. She handled the children 1. Sister Len handled the children 2. And then Brother Joey and Brother Randy handled the youth. The Sister Nils used the place just in front of the chapel, the fellowship area. Sister Len used the children area. And Brother Joey and Brother Randy used the area just in front of the Nipa Hat. This is the place where we first gather when we had the IOM Church of Christ, when there is no chapel yet. And we gathered the children from a nearby barangay, and they fit into the Tamaro FX. Good thing we have that vehicle. This is the time of graduation when everyone receives a certificate, and parents also visited us. They do a special number and those things. Now, we would like to thank you personally for those donations, especially the tent. We use them for different purposes. These are the tents that the congregation donates to us. We use them on children feeding. We started last January, and then we had a halt because of the Daily Vacation Bible School. We will continue it in the next months. So that's one of the things that we are doing with the tent, and it has been helpful to us to have those tents. Another thing is the Valentine's, Free Valentine's Couple Treat. Brother Randy was the one who gave the message on that day, and that was February when Brother Robert has not yet arrived. Brother Joey and Sister Len was one of the attendees. And also we used the place for fellowship after the Sunday morning service to tell something that is happening to us, to thank the Lord, and also to share what we have been learning from the gospel minutes that Brother Robert has given to us. We give the gospel minutes to everyone, and then everyone will share what he has learned about it in a week that it was given to them. So we are hoping that Brother Robert will still give us some more copies of that. So those are the things we are doing with the tents. Thank you so much. After the Brother Robert's and Brother Henry's visit, Sister Len also decided to obey the Lord. That's the wife of Brother Joey. Sister Let, the mother of Brother Darwin, who Brother Henry baptized, also obeyed the Lord. Brother Randy baptized Sister Let. And Brother Mark Lester, a BS Math student, who was also there when they visited us, also decided to be baptized. Brother Joey baptized him. Glory to God for those additional people in Santa Cruz Church of Christ. Also, we had the encouragement to evangelize. So here is a town where Sister Nils was born, which is around 40 miles from Santa Cruz Church of Christ. We visited there to tell them that we are interested in sharing the gospel to them on a regular basis. So we visited them last April. We can take a boat ride, that would only take 45 minutes, but if we will take the land, that would take us 2 hours. So they are near the lake. When we arrived there, we were gladly welcomed by the relatives of Sister Nils. We preached the gospel there. Brother Joey introduced his wife, and his wife told the people there about obeying the Lord, her experience about obeying the Lord, and then Brother Joey preached the gospel. Brother Randy and his wife, Sister Nils, shared what he has experienced about obeying the Lord, and Brother Randy preached the gospel. We had a great time being there, and the people were just glad that we are there. And we heard that they were excited for us to be back this coming June, and we have to prepare for that. So those are the things that happened after the visit of Brother Robert and Brother Henry. We are so much thankful that you have allowed them to visit us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. We hope that they will be there back again. And for the morning message, but before that, I would like to especially thank Brother Gary and Sister Joyce. There was never a moment that this couple were not giving me attention to think of me, to think of my welfare. Every moment they are asking me how am I doing. They fed me a lot, and I enjoyed every meal that they have prepared. I thank you for this couple, and of course the whole congregation. Now, a while ago we have read from Acts chapter 8, and I would like to share on the verse 4. Now, the background of that passage is that the brethren in Jerusalem started to scatter because of the persecution. And it started when Stephen was stoned with the consent of Paul. Now, the title of today's message is Dynamic Mission Program. The term itself says that the word dynamic pertains to a strength or power involving or causing energy motion. So it has the same root word with dynamite. Are you aware of that dynamite? Back there in the Philippines, people use illegally dynamite in fishing. So when they throw dynamite on the body of water, it explodes and it affects many living things, even far away, even those small ones which are not yet mature to be catched. So the word dynamic has the same root word with the word dynamite, and it explodes loudly and easily, boom, like that. And the word mission is sending or sending away. What is the nature of this mission that I would like to talk about this morning? It is the same as Christ's mission. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul agreed that he was one of those people that whom Christ came. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am cheap. So the nature of the mission that we would like to study now is the same as Christ's mission. It is the mission stated by Jesus, not the mission stated by someone else, by a known person, giving us something to do and telling us to go. No, it's not just the mission that any preacher would tell us to do, but it is the mission stated by Jesus himself. We know that because Jesus said it in three times. Jesus said it in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He said that in Mark 16, 15, 16. He said, "Go ye into all the world." And he also said that in Luke 26, 46 to 47. He said, "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations." What we notice in his words is that this mission that he was talking about is worldwide in scope. It is not just a certain portion of where we are standing, a certain portion of the or our place or our nearby barangays or community. It is a place where includes all the people in the world. Aside from seeing that it is worldwide in its scope, it is a great challenge. It is a great challenge for all of us Christians. But what I want to give focus this day is the four essentials of a great mission program. Four essentials of a great mission program. The first one that we can see is that every Christian is a missionary. Every Christian is a missionary. We tend to classify on a few as missionaries. Like when Brother Robert and Brother Henry goes to our place, we tend to see them as, oh, these are the missionaries, and we are just the supporters. Brother Elimar is a missionary, and we are just the supporters. But everyone is a missionary. The Lord has sent us all on a mission effort. When he was saying Matthew 28, 18 to 20, he was talking to all. And that challenge is for the Christians in the coming age. And that includes us and the generations next to us. When we go back to what we have read a while ago, God's people are saved to be part of God's word of saving people. We see there, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This does not only pertain to the apostles, to the evangelists, but everyone were scattered to tell others about the gospel. So that's the first essential. Every one of us here is a Christian, is a missionary. We all have part on that challenge by Jesus. Second is that we have to have confidence in the dynamic word of God. God's word is alive and active. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "Therefore, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." That means, since we see ourselves as part of the as missionaries, we need to dwell on the word of God as our first and foremost weapon. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. In Romans 1:16-17, Paul said that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What is this telling to us? It is telling us that we cannot be an effective missionary if we just have the love for people. That would not be enough. We need to cling on the dynamic word of God. We need to continue studying the Bible, memorizing some scriptures, applying it into our life. That's the time we will be effective missionaries. We will not be effective missionaries if we will just give our financial support. We need, every one of us, need to cling on the dynamic word of God. When we go back again to Acts 8:4, what do they do when they were scattered? They preach on the word of God, every one of them. Can the Lord's church be established without the word being taught? Can some people agree, hey, let's build a church here? Without the word being taught? No. In Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it is said, "There then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. You see, on this chapter, the disciples were having complaint, and they were telling it to the apostles that some group were already being neglected in the distribution of the foods. And so the 12 apostles told them that, we should not neglect the word and go on to serving the tables. We need to have some people do that because the preaching of the word is very important. Now, when we want to have a plant, what is it that we sow? It is the seed. And so in Luke 8:11, it is written there, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So there will be no churches to be planted if there is no preaching of the word. These people did not go out to give human testimonial. Say, I have something that has happened to me and I will just tell it to the people. I don't know about the word of God. And I will just tell what has happened to me to the people. No, what we see in those Christians in Jerusalem did was to share the word and not their human testimonials. They do not preach worldly wisdom. In our world today, people have so many philosophies and they are wonderful to hear those philosophies. But it is not the word of God which will give us salvation. Somebody say amen. So they did not use anything but the word of God to preach the gospel. So that's the second essential. We need to have confidence in the dynamic word of God. That's our primary weapon. Third is the proper sense of values. In the Philippines, when we say values, that's the thing that we give priority to. What is our priority? Jesus' question is still pertinent for us today. He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When he gave this to the disciples, it still rings to us today. Jesus is saying that there's nothing that we can exchange for the salvation of our soul. Now, in this verse, Jesus is saying that even if the man has gained the whole world, it would not benefit him if he loses his own soul. Is there someone among us here who owns the whole world? What about the whole Alabama? What about the whole Athens? Now, if this person who has already gained the whole world still became a loser because he lost his own soul, how much more we who has a small property? Jesus is saying that there's nothing that can be exchanged to that losing of one's soul. Even if we combine all our wealth, it cannot be an exchange for that man's soul. That man's soul is still precious. It's more precious than God's eye. Paul warned Timothy of the danger of confused values. He said, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some, they have, I guess, have put in danger their faith and turned into many sorrow. So Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to have the proper priority. He needs to have not too much attention on money or the things of this world because that would put him into danger. Now, having a right priority will give us the right sense of attitude as a missionary. The Lord identified a man as a foolish when placed all the emphasis in life on the material. We can read that in Matthew chapter, in Luke chapter 12, that there was a man who was thinking of what he will do to his possessions. He said to himself, I will build a barn and put all my things there. But God said that this man is foolish. So when a person has his priority on the material things, God considered him foolish. God said in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust that corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. What did God say to the man who wants to make a barn for all his possession? God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Every one of us must have the proper sense of values. We need to give priority into what needs to be given priority. Material is subject to decay. Our association with the material is brief and uncertain. We live today, and then tomorrow we are gone. We are like the grass. The material alone does not fully satisfy. Matthew 4:4 said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Have we tried sometime visiting some good place, eating all the things that we can eat, and then after returning home, we seem to be unsatisfied? Because all those stuff in this world cannot satisfy us. It's the spirit of an individual worth more than all the world. When we see someone moving among us, he has a soul, and that soul is precious in God's sight. If we have that sense of value, just what Jesus had, then we will be an effective missionary. The last is the sacrificial spirit. It is the Lord who was the first to give us an example of having a sacrificial spirit in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a sacrificial spirit Jesus has. And he demonstrated it for us. Having all the things in this world, being God, he came down and became human and sacrificed everything for our salvation. Early Christians were willing to pay the price to follow Christ. We notice that in the book of Acts. And to him in Acts 5, 40-41, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The apostles consider those things that they are experiencing as part of being a missionary. Some of the early Christians sold property and gave the money to the apostles so the physical needs of the people could be met. In Acts 4:36-37, and Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were willing to give everything that they have for the cause of the gospel of Christ. So we have seen these four essentials and how they are important to us. Now I'm about to wrap up. There is an urgency that we get involved now and here. Why is it we need to get involved now and here? First is that people are dying every single minute. People are dying. This earth is so big. And it might be one of our relatives would be the next. Hopefully not. But that's the truth. People are dying. So there's an urgency to be involved. When we say now, that means not tomorrow. People might say, oh, I don't have a talent now. I don't have money now. I have not much now. But people are dying every minute. There's an urgency because error is being taught. Denominations are proliferating. They are becoming too many. More than us. But God says, there are few who will go to heaven. So there's an urgency because people are being deceived by those erroneous teachings. There's an urgency because the devil is active. The world can be evangelized. In about 20 to 30 years after the Pentecost, Paul could write Colossians 1:23. And you know what's written in Colossians 1:23? If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul was able to declare that he and the brethren was able to preach the gospel to every creature which is under heaven. That was 29 to 30 years after the Pentecost. They did it without television, radio, and the printed page. All the stuff that we have today, they are not privileged to have that on that time. They did it through a dynamic mission program that viewed all as missionaries. Furthermore, they evangelized the world in spite of persecution and death, much persecution that we can experience right now because we have the privilege to speak of God to most people. But they, during their time, they were put to death when they are talking about Jesus. They evangelize the world in spite of division and false doctrine. Yeah, there is a hint of division during that time. In Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Paul was talking about a hint of having a division. What I mean is that we can also do it now, the evangelizing the whole world, even if there is division happening all over, because they too experience that. Brethren, we transfer to another church, but we need to continue preaching the gospel because that is not a hindrance. What we have is now. Talent in the Lord's church to evangelize the world, that's what we have. Is there anyone among us here who will say, oh, I don't have talent. I don't have any ability. I don't have nothing at all. Every one of us has talent. We have financial resources to do it. We have facilities to train the workers. We also have the promise from the Lord. And what is that? Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have what it takes to evangelize the world. And we are one in, we have to go hand in hand in doing this mission. It's a great day to worship here, Tanner Church of Christ. And may God bless everyone. Now, is there anyone among us who has not yet given himself to the Lord, having some setback on giving himself and being part of the mission? As we have heard today, the time is now. If there is something that we can do to help this church and other churches to be part of the mission, then we can talk to the leaders and say, hey, I want to be part of it. Is there someone among us who have not yet obeyed the first command of the gospel? That's the right track. That's the first thing to do, to obey the gospel and be part of the mission. You are our mission if you have not yet obeyed the gospel. You are the one that we want to be with because heaven is a wonderful place. If you think you want to be part of the mission and you have not yet obeyed the gospel, the brethren here is always ready to assist you. Can we all stand and let us pray?